Just transitioning now. Put on my teacher hat. Yes. So does anyone have any interesting stories? Now, you don't need to share it right now, but maybe you could just do a show of hand. An interesting story of how your family of origin came over to America that's been carried down through the generations. Great Aunt Edna came from Italy and started an Italian whatever in New York City. But maybe you have something like that. I don't have a ton of those. I maybe should listen more to my parents tell stories. Maybe they have those, so they'll probably say, Eric, didn't you remember so-and-so? But I do know Laura, your grandma gave you a bunch of stuff a few years ago, and we had all this stuff, and they had little sticky notes on the pictures, this is so-and-so, and they were there, and this and that. And it was really interesting to hear some of the stories from the family. And, you know, one thing I find interesting is with these immigration stories, you know, think about yourself. What would move you to leave America, to go somewhere else, to leave all your family behind and make such a journey? You know, often we don't think about it. We think, oh, yeah, people want to come to America, right? You know, imagine yourself in that place. Would it be that there's such opportunity in this other place that you're willing to rise up out of apathy, to rise up out of whatever and go? Or the situation where you are so bad that it makes it desirable to go to that place. So put yourself in those shoes. And I know when we went overseas as missionaries a while back, it's been a bit, it kind of hit me what it might mean to be an immigrant here. Because I was in another country. I didn't know the language. I didn't know how that culture worked. It was very uncomfortable. All right, so the process, you know, of choosing to start a journey like that is what we're going to be talking today. The Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through 134, are Psalms about a journey. And today we're looking at Psalm 120, the start of the journey. And what leads to the start of a journey? Now, just to give you a little background, I've been looking at these psalms, and there was one very compelling argument that these psalms match up with the book of Nehemiah. That the Nehemiah I statements, you might say, what's an I statement? When Nehemiah is speaking in the first person in the book of Nehemiah, those statements then match up with the psalm in 120 through 134. There's 14 I statements of Nehemiah, and there's 14 psalms, and then the 15th is the last one. So there's a lot of correlation between these two. So for me, it was very compelling. It may or may not be the case, but I thought it's good for us to realize the context of a psalm. So what this person was arguing is that these psalms were written when Nehemiah shared in 435 BCE in the temple, did all these I statements, and these were cantors that were songs of response to each of his statements. So you ever done responsive readings in church? So these psalms were written by a cantor in response to the I statements of Nehemiah. So if we look at them in light of those, that we might get some element of insight and interpretation of these. So there's that one level. Then later on, these psalms were used by pilgrims going up to the temple. I don't know if you knew this, but Israelites, even when the exile ended, they came back. They were supposed to come up to the Jerusalem temple several times a year for feasts. That was kind of a mandatory. And so as they were going up, Jerusalem was above, it was high, and they would sing these psalms of ascent as they were going to Jerusalem. There's a third level of interpretation. Matt shared this with me, but the priests, as they were going up the steps of the temple, there was an aspect of that. We're just talking about onion layers after layers. Another onion layer, many of these psalms, they remind us, and they sound oddly like what Jesus was doing as he's going to Jerusalem. And you can find lots of parallels in that. And then that last level, the fifth level, we as little Christs, taking up our cross to follow Christ, are also pilgrims who have returned from exile or are in exile from the kingdom. So there's elements with this. All these layers can apply to us in some form or fashion. So you might say, wow, Eric, that's pretty complicated. but not as complicated as a V8, so you can do this. So think of those levels, those lenses, as you're reading through these Psalms, and you will find there's various insights you will glean for your own spiritual journey. Okay, so in light of that, we're looking at Psalm 120, and if I was to summarize this psalm in one sentence, it would be this. I'm using the one imperative in the psalm. He uses the imperative, deliver me, deliver. So let's focus. Here's what I would say summarizes this psalm. Stay focused on God's deliverance. Stay focused on God's deliverance. And you may see, oh, what are these papers magically appeared on our tables? And maybe there weren't enough for all of you. So I didn't want to be wasteful. I didn't want to make 80 copies and have 70 still sitting there. So if you take them, I will know they're being used. That's good. And maybe, just a reminder, you could get a three-ring binder that you say, I'm going to put that with my Bible, and I'll bring that every week, and I'm going to take notes on the message, and I'm going to stick it in here, and I'll have a nice reference and collection of what we've been talking about. I can go back and review, because remember, we tend to leak. We don't remember. So just to encourage you, I'm not going to quiz you on this, but it's for your benefit. So I'm your personal spiritual trainer, like a physical trainer, giving you some exercises to do. So in light of that, Schatz is going to come up, and she's going to read, first of all, she's going to read the Nehemiah passage that is associated with this psalm, which is Nehemiah 1, 1 through 11a. And as she's reading that, I want you to think about this, he's saying this I statement, and then as she reads Psalm 120, think of that as in response to what Nehemiah was saying. And it may bring some new insights for you. So, Holly.
Is that on? Okay. All right, so Chapter 1, verses 1 through 11a. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hilkiah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even your exiled people are the farthest horizon. I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.'" Psalm 120. "I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Amen.
Thank you, Holly. So as we seek to stay focused on God's deliverance, we see three subpoints that first line of this psalm really lists out. The first one is, stay focused on God's deliverance when you're in distress. The second is, stay focused on God's deliverance by calling on God. And finally, stay focused on God's deliverance by remembering that He answers your call. Let's look at the first one. Stay focused on God's deliverance when you are in distress. It's often easier to think about God's deliverance when it's been in when everything's going well, right? We think of all the times. If I were to ask you about that, you might remember times. But when you and I are in the thick of it, that sometimes is when it's most difficult. That's when it's hard sometimes to remember that God delivered in the past. In ancient Israel, they had heaps of stones that they would heap up. Do you remember reading about that? What were these stones called? Ebenezers, or stones of remembrance. Stones of remembrance. And oftentimes we need stones of remembrance that stand there solidly, that remind us of the times God has delivered us when we're in the thick of it. Often when we're in the thick of it, it's as if we get spiritual amnesia and we forget all the times that the Lord has delivered us, and we're tempted to worry, to fear, to flee. Lots of different things can happen. So the first three words of the psalm set the stage. In my what? Distress. In my distress. Life is full of distress. The world is broken by the fall. As much as you and I want to fix things, we are constantly faced with the law of entropy. Things tend to move from order to chaos. Weeds grow whether you want them to or not. Our most valuable possessions rust or fade away, or there's a new version released. Distress is what leads you and I to remember God, to run to God. But it also causes us to run to other things. So distress is a crossroads for many of us. Will we choose to call on God, or will we run to other idols or saviors? What will we do? So, question for us to consider today is, who or what am I remembering in my distress? Who or what am I remembering in my distress? Think of the prodigal son. In a stressful situation, he's run out of money. He sits in a muddy pig pen. He has no food. He's tempted to even eat the pig's food, which is slop. And what does he do in that pig pen? He remembers. What does he remember? My father's house. My servants ate well. Maybe I could go back there. In his distress, he remembered. It is imperative for us to stay focused on God's deliverance when we are in distress. Secondly, stay focused on God's deliverance by calling on God. So, what's the second phrase? In my distress, I what? Called on whom? The Lord. In my distress, I called on the Lord. After remembering God, we must call and ask for Him to help us. Asking for help is hard for many of us. Have any of you ever been around someone that refuses to ask for directions when they are lost? Right? Yes. It's changed now. We ask Siri for help. We don't go to God anymore. We go to Siri. Or imagine the time you haven't had the right tool to do a job, and instead of asking that friend to borrow the tool, you try to make the wrong tool work. I've seen many people coming in with bandages or as a result of that. A wrench was not meant to do what a hammer does, okay? So we are reluctant to ask for help. You know, and maybe we post our best moments on Facebook in hopes that others will not see the desperation in our real life. We put forth a good word. Someone asks, how are you doing? The common response is, good. Even if, actually, we are doing anything but good. So asking for God's help is akin to this word we might know, it's called repentance. You would say, I never thought of repentance as asking for God's help. Well, let's look at that. Repentance means admitting we are wrong and doing a change of direction. Our spiritual journey starts and involves many moments of repentance. Think back to the passage in Nehemiah. What did he do when he heard of the distress others were in? He repented of Israel's sins, but he also repented of his father's sins and his own sins. He said, we need to change direction. This is a bad situation. And he started with repentance. Repentance is a journey of humility in which you and I daily recognize our need for God's help every step of the way. All 15 steps of that ascent. One thing I noticed, you know, as we talk about service, you might say, Eric, what does this Psalms of Ascent have anything to do with service? Well, this journey of service, I'd say the journey of discipleship. What is discipleship? Often discipleship is denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him. Discipleship is not just about us. It's about preferring others. Operating according to that golden rule, right? Loving God, loving others. The foundation, the first step in this is prayer. The first step is prayer. Prayer is that foundation. Calling on the Lord. So you might never have thought of prayer as service to God and others, but prayer is the very foundation of service. What did Nehemiah do before he went to the king with his big grand plan to build a wall? What did we just read? It said he prayed and fasted for many days. Prayer was the foundation of the wall. Before any other thing was ever built, prayer and fasting was that foundation. So, are we committed? Are we a people of prayer, Grace Fellowship? Do we make that the foundation of all our service? You might say, well, how does that look? Well, I'm just thinking of, in my own life, practically, I could say, and I love how Judy Parsons has said this, Lord, what are my marching orders for today, God? What are my marching orders for today? So a great way to open up your morning with the Lord's Prayer. I've been doing that lately. That's a good reminder. But your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, how do you want me to do that today? Give me my marching orders and listen and let him speak to you. And maybe lay in your day before him. Hey God, I got these things on my agenda. And he might say, yeah, good, go for it. And it might be like what Bob was saying, it's how you're going about it, right? Not always what you're doing. Lord, give me the right attitude today as I'm going to serve. So, question for us today. In your distress, do you call on the Lord? Do you pray? In your distress, do you repent of your ways and turn to God for His strong help? And it's not always repenting of sin. Sometimes we need to repent of just relying on our own strength, our own wisdom, all these other things that we tend to do, and to say, God, I need your help. That's the start of the journey. It is a humble calling to the Lord. We see the situation. We say, God, help. So this is the start of the journey and a daily start thereafter. The journey is marked by humility and repentance as we ask God for His strong help on the journey. So we've looked at staying focused on God's deliverance when we're in distress, staying focused on God's deliverance by calling to God, and finally, stay focused on God's deliverance by remembering He answers your call. Verse 1, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and He what? Answered me. We stay focused on God's deliverance by remembering that He answered our call. He is the God who hears. The big question is, how does He answer? Does He always do what you and I want? Does He? No. Does He always deliver in the way that we desire? Not necessarily. Prayer is not a magic spell. Prayer is not spiritual science that says, if I do this and that thing, then this or that thing will happen. Beware of those who say that. The health and wealth gospel tries to make spiritual science. It's not how it works. We're dealing with a relationship, a father. I'll pick on Cameron here a little bit. Cameron, if Eden came up to you and said, Dad, I want to take out the car at 3 a.m. and go for a joyride. Would you say, bless you, Aiden, go do that? Right? As a good father, we sometimes say no to our requests, even though they earnestly ask us. God is the Father. He created this universe. He formed every atom, so he knows infinitely better than you and I what we need. So his answers, though we may not always understand it, he also is referred to in the Lord's Prayer as Abba, Daddy, Daddy Father. So we trust that God is good. Faith is believing that God is and that he answers those who call to him. That's what Hebrews says. So we pray knowing that we pray to a good Father. He does answer us. This is not magic. He doesn't always give us what we want, but he always hears. And he may say yes, he may say wait, or he may say no. So, it can be a little discouraging when you feel surrounded by people who want war. I don't know if you read later in this passage. He's kind of saying in that last verse, too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. When I am for peace, but when I speak the war, we see a troubling situation around us. And, you know, I have found that asking God for help works better for me when I ask him what to do rather than telling him what to do. There's a difference, right? God, you should do this, this, and this. Well, let me just share here. I was thinking about, this isn't how I always pray, but this is something that has changed in me. This is one way I might pray. I would say, Lord, I'm deeply troubled by whatever. I don't know what to do. Would you help me? Would you give me what I need to glorify you in this situation? Would you give me wisdom for how to live in this situation? Would you deliver me from this situation as you see fit? So, notice in that prayer, it's saying, hey, you're the one with the answers. You're the one with the resources. I'm in trouble. I need your help. How often do we pray like that? I don't know. It's a good challenge to us. Do we say, Daddy, help? All right? As you and I pray and remember God's deliverance, it behooves us to remember that he does answer. He is the God who hears. Our prayers and cries do not fall on deaf ears. They fall upon the ears of Abba, Daddy, Father. Well, Abby might hear him as well. But Abba, Daddy, Father. He cares deeply for you, his child, and wants to help you. So the journey begins by crying out, Daddy, and waiting for the mighty Father to come. We have some parents here. I, as a parent, you've heard that word, daddy, right? Daddy. And as a dad, I've learned to distinguish. It's happened less now as they're getting older, but you distinguish between the daddy and the daddy, I'm really hurt, right? There's different daddies that kids cry. If I am discerning, that's an emergency daddy. I am quick to run. Quick to step in. You know, I was reading about this one guy. There was a car accident, and the person was stuck under a car. He went out and he lifted the car. And they were talking about, this is impossible. This is a 2-ton vehicle. How could someone do that? So if someone could do that for a bystander, not even their child, a kid that's stuck under a car, how much more will your daddy in heaven, who has all the power in the universe, move heaven and earth if it's necessary? If he doesn't, Remember we said earlier, he knows infinitely better than you what's best for that situation. So if he doesn't, we can accept that and say, okay, help me to get through this. And it helps me know this life is not the end. So even if you and I die, it's not over, right? If we think this life is the end, then if God doesn't answer and we pass away, we would think God failed or something didn't happen. But if we recognize that this life is but a dot on the line of eternity, there's a whole different perspective on how this all is working and how it all works out. So Psalm 120 serves as a reminder to stay focused on God's deliverance when we are in distress by calling on God and remembering he answers our call. Let's pray. Lord, the very foundation of this whole journey is prayer. And it's just the prayer of saying, I don't got the answers, you do. I need your help. Help me, God. So, Lord, if it's been a while for each of us before that we have asked you for help, that we have reached out to you for answers, I pray that this week might be a change in our journey, that we might cry out to you, help, and we might avail ourselves of the strong help of God the Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to go to our groups, but we stand here just as an act of benediction. So the young people will go upstairs, take kids to Sunday school, and then the circle groups meet at various places in the church, and feel free to join those. So let's raise our hands, just an act of benediction. Go forth this week on the journey focused upon God's deliverance. When you are in distress, remember we serve the God who delivers. When you are in distress, call to God for help. When you remember that he is the Abba, Daddy, who answers your call and cares for you, go in peace.